Good morning, everybody. Hello.
Hi. Ek moet agter die katere weg staan, want anders gaan julle my nie sien nie. Are you well this morning? Just shake somebody next to you and say, you are looking fresh. And you are looking all okay this morning. It's great to be here this morning. It's full of it, like it's just family. I'm going to stick to English most of the time, so if you don't understand my English, then ask in Afrikaans, okay? But it's great to be here. And just to see what God is doing, because God is moving. Did you know that? The Lord is so excited that we are here this morning. Not because we're trying to do something, or because we're religious with Him, or because we've got a set of rules that we must follow, but because of relationship. And because God is showing Himself strong to us, and God is doing amazing stuff all across the world. And I don't know if you've read the news lately, in the past couple of weeks, but there are some intense stuff happening. If you go to Egypt and you go look at what's happening in those nations, it's not just Muslims rising up, but it's actually mostly Christians that are beginning to stand up and beginning to let their voice be known in those nations where we even thought they weren't even Christians. But Muslims and Christians coming together, and lots of things happening spiritually at this stage. So there's a challenge. Obviously, some people say we're on the brink of a third world war. I don't know if you thought about it, but the only way that the Muslim world can unite itself is by attacking Israel, or faking an attack from Israel so that they can unite again, because everything is scattering at the moment. The Jews are quite tense, and the Muslim leaders are quite tense because they don't know where this thing is going. But that means that we are living in one of the most exciting times ever. The first time in hundreds of years that these things have started to happen. And that means that we must be ready, because Jesus is coming soon. And I don't know if you know that, but He's coming very soon. And I'm going to speak a little bit about some of these things this morning. And I trust your heart is open, because you look very excited. Some of you must, I say, tell your faces still that you look excited, but that's going to happen before the end of today. Because sometimes when we come to church, we're like, oh my chona, you know. We must get this like serious look on our faces, but it's good to smile. Let's just practice that a little bit. Why don't you smile to your neighbor and just say, I love your teeth and I hope you brushed them this morning. Okay, that's looked much better. That's like the real thing there. Okay. I'm going to read us two stories, but before that I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask that this morning God will stir something in our hearts. You know, we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. We cannot try to change ourselves. We cannot try to suck ourselves up. We cannot try to be passionate. Because sometimes we like to have all these New Year's resolutions, and then like it's February already. Most of us have forgotten the New Year's resolutions, and we're sort of trying again. But the most amazing thing is God is faithful, and God is working. And God is busy. Scripture says when the angels sing in Isaiah about God, they say the whole earth is full of His glory. And that means that God is working everywhere at this moment. The challenge for us is just to see that and to look at Him and to understand what He's doing. Because so many times we look at the negative and the critical, and especially when we read these scriptures that we're going to read this morning, normally, especially Western and especially Afrikaner people, we feel very condemned. We think, oh, I must sort my life out. And the way or the glasses that we use to read scripture is very important. Did you know that? If we don't read it out of a context of God's love and God's grace, we are always going to feel condemned. We're always going to try to raise the standard so high. And you know what? We cannot achieve that standard. It's God's standard, and He will achieve it through us if we will allow Him. The challenge is just is to open up our hearts, and that's what I'm going to pray this morning. This is not just an ordinary church service coming together. No, we've already, God is here. He's been waiting for us. He's been looking out for us. And He loves us like this, just non-stop, unconditionally, all the time, always. His eyes, He says, is always on us. Isn't that amazing? When you have snored last night, or you ate too much and sort of you're fighting with the meat inside of you, whatever you did last night, you know, you're lying there almost like a zombie, whatever, you're tired, and God is like next to your bed, and He's watching out for you. He's looking out. That's just God's heart. He's continually thinking about us, and you're in His mind. Your name is written on the palm of His hand. So whenever God wants to do something, it's like, Whoa, check, there's Pity. Whoa, there's Sunny. Oh, they're part of what he's, you know, he's thinking about it. It's not like there's somebody out there trying to do something. Are you with me? That was a good place to say amen, and some of you are going to say amen. Please lock the doors because I'm going to preach until everybody says amen in this place. This means like you agree, okay? Nobody's going home unless there's like just good amen. Because I haven't even started, you know? Okay, hallelujah. That was the wrong place to say the amen. You must say amen at the right place as well, okay? Otherwise, it's not going to work. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, we are so amazed about what you've already started to do in our hearts this morning. And we thank you for the freedom that you have brought to us on the cross, because it is for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. Lord, we're not here because we're religious. We're here because we are hungry and we're thirsty for you. And we thank you, Lord, that you're moving all across the world. At this stage, Lord, and at this place, in this day, even, Lord, millions of other brothers and sisters are coming together to worship you. And Lord, we're joining with the angels. We're singing with them, Lord. We're rejoicing with them. Because God, you are moving, you're advancing, and your kingdom is coming. And we thank you, Lord, that we can partake of your divine nature. Lord, I take authority over every accusation and condemnation and even tiredness this morning. Everything, Lord, that stands against the knowledge of Christ in our lives. And Lord, we come to plant a cross right here in the center of this service today, because Lord, we cannot live without you. In you we live and we move and we have our being, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we pray that this morning you will bring life to every dead bone in this place. That you'll speak your life, breathe on us again, Lord. Because we only want to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to read two scriptures or two sort of parables, and they're actually connected. It doesn't look like it when you start, but let's go to Matthew chapter 25. And this is the scary part. This is sort of the end where Jesus is picking up speed, and Jesus has got a real focus. He's going somewhere. He's going to the cross, but there's some stuff that he must tell them before he dies. And now he uses these two parables. He says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight the cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Many people say it's 2012. 2012 is the last day. Okay. Some people said it's May in this year, the 11th of May or 21st of May. When was that date? People are prophesying and people are saying it's the end of the world. People are doing, you know, all this stuff. But scripture says, watch, watch, watch. Meaning you need to see. You need to look. And there are two groups of people here. The ones also called, the ones are ready, the 5 virgins, and the others are not. And it's a bit of a scary thing, because you think, well, they actually call out to Jesus and Jesus answers them. They say, "Lord, Lord, open up for us," you know. And then the Lord says, "I don't know you." And yet it's like me saying, "Heinrich, Heinrich, you know, open up for me." And then Heinrich answers me and says, "Sias, Sias, I don't know you." You think like, I've just called you by name. I've called you, you know, I've given you. But now it seems like there's like confusion. Jesus, are you a bit confused here? Are you not lekker? Did you eat too much meat last night? Or what's happening here? But if we understand the parable, and if we understand Jewish culture, it was a bit different. The weddings were a bit different than what we had and what we have today. What would happen is the bride would sit at a certain place and she would start to prepare herself. And then the bridegroom would come somewhere. There would probably be about 5 days or 7 days in which he could come. the bridegroom would actually go away and he would normally build a part of, onto his dad's house. He would prepare a house for them to go and stay. So he would be preparing the house and building the house, and the bride would sort of be ready. She would be waiting, but she didn't know when he was going to come. So the bridegroom would then come at a certain time when nobody actually would expect, or he'd try to actually surprise her. Now, I don't know what makeup they used, ladies, in those days, but it had to be good mascara, because you just imagine you're putting on your mascara and now you're just waiting. But like 5 days later, you know, you must have good underarm spray and all that stuff, because it must last for 5 or 7 days. But they used mud, they said, in those days. You know, it was like stuff. The real deal. And so, yes, she's waiting, but she doesn't know when the bridegroom is going to come. And so then, at a certain stage, because the whole community, everybody was like waiting. This was like the highlight. And then sometimes he would come 12 o'clock at night, and he'd come walk through the streets, and then everybody would start to blow the trumpets. And the bridegroom would call out, "I'm coming to fetch my bride, I'm coming to fetch my bride." And then they'd walk down, and they'll come into the house, and then she'd come down, and then they'll walk back through the community, and everybody would celebrate. They would say, "Blessed is he who is invited to the marriage supper." Yeah? And then they would all go to this massive marriage supper, and they would have a massive community, just everybody coming together, celebrating. And then there was some other stuff that happened. We're all adults here, but they would have this big tent, and they would then the husband and the wife would go into this tent, and it would be like, everybody would just imagine the pressure, but in any case, everybody would look around, and then the husband would come out with this, with the blood on the, what is a laken? Yeah, that one, okay. With the blood on the sheet, and that would be the final, that will be the mark of the fact that they are married. And that would be the highlight, that would be the celebration, the fact that blood has flowed and that they've been virgins together, and there was such a community and such a great place of coming together, and everybody would just like say, "Yes, you know, let's go for it. They are truly married." So it happened a little bit differently. It changed through their communities and through the Jews. They don't do it as like that anymore. Some of the Orthodox Jews do it. But it's just an amazing picture of this bride waiting for this bridegroom. And now in this context, these virgins, they were supposed to help the bride. They were supposed to be inside helping, and they were not. So the challenge here was they were focusing on the wrong stuff. It wasn't just about the lamps and the oil. They were busy with stuff that they were not supposed to be busy with. And do you know how many Christians today are busy with stuff that they're not supposed to be busy with? They're not busy with the things of God. They're busy with lots of things surrounding God, which is sometimes called religion. And so here the bridegroom comes, and now we see the story of those with the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. You know, they say, "Well, our lamps are full. We are ready. We are prepared. We've been ready all the time." And the other ones, they're just missing the plot a little bit. Now, when we read this, like I said, some people think, "Oh, my chuna, is my lampy full? I feel this morning a bit tired. My lampy is like a third of the full, you know. If I could just get it a little bit more, you know." Then we just like the spirit of condemnation comes out of it. But that's really not what the story is about. The story is really about the expectation that the bridegroom is coming. And that we can be prepared that while we're living in this time, it's the most exciting time ever to live in. That was a good place to say amen. Okay, thank you very much for your participation there and your over-eagerness. Okay. But we're going to get there today. But the most amazing thing is, there was an expectation that God is coming and God is doing stuff. That this bridegroom is going to come to fetch. And because what would happen typically is the bridegroom would prepare this house. He was always busy doing stuff. He wasn't like waiting around, drinking his pineapple drink himself, because maybe he's going to try to catch her out. You know, he's going to try to get that bride, you know, when she's not ready, or get the virgins with the oil that don't have the oil. We just want to catch them out because we want to check whether they're ready or not ready. But the scripture says that is the kingdom. That is the readiness that we have to live with. Okay, are you still with me? Lekker, let's go on. Because that's not where the story ends. We sort of think these two are not connected, but let's go on. We are in verse whatever. "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant his goods to them. And to one he gave substance, to another two, and to another one. To each according to his own ability. Say, according to his own ability. And immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter, say with me, enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then you had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Say, I was afraid. Okay. But he did something. He hid the talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, we all know this story. How many of you have not read this story before? I think all of us have read this story, and normally we think, oh my God, have I got 10 talents? Have I got 5 talents? Have I got 1 talent? And as I was praying and preparing this, I was just reminded and sort of challenged a little bit, because the Lord said to me, that guy with the 1 talent, even if he lost the talent, God would have given him a reward because he trusted God and because he did something with it. But the problem is, and what we're going to see in this time coming, is so many people are afraid and some people are doing things in fear. And you know what? When there's fear, faith goes out the door. Because fear cripples you. Fear makes it impossible for you to believe in God and to respond to God. Fear makes your knees like weak. You cannot, you know, they minister to one another. There's lots of ministry taking place, but it's not got anything to do with the Holy Spirit. It's just your knees, okay? But we're seeing many people in this time, they are beginning to cry out. They're beginning to say, oh my God, what is happening? You know, in this week I was spent a day there with some Angus on the farm. And in the Jewish Council of South Africa, these guys were there, coming to ask the Christians, and especially Angus, to pray for them, because they're very afraid of what's happening in the Middle East. Now, these are Jewish rabbis, and if you've ever read Scripture, you'll realize how significant this is, because Scripture says the Jews will start turning to the Gentiles and ask for help. When that begins to happen, you must know that the end of the times is really, we're very close. Many of the Jews are going to begin to turn. And so, and we read about it, that many Jewish rabbis have actually turned in the last 5 years to Christ. So I don't think we've got very long to live before Christ is going to come back. I believe we're going to probably be the last generation, or maybe our kids, but we don't have lots of time, because the signs of the times are all saying that Christ is coming back soon. Earthquakes in the last 50 years, and they say that more than 50 years. The Jesus not say that. But here's the story of this country, what Matthew 25 is Peter, the nation, and it's like, you have to read the first part, you have to read, I'm an overcoming Christ. Matthew chapter 25 is like a tough one, you know, because it feels like, my God, Lord, you are unjust, you are unfair. You know what it's really about perception, it's about expectation, it's about trust in God. God always has a way of delivering. But it's always an issue of trust. says, there are these guys with these talents, and God is just giving out, and he says, well, great stuff. You've done, I've given you something, you've come back with your 5 talents, and we say, yes, enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, there's nothing in this earth that can satisfy you except the presence of God and doing the will of God for your life. That was a good place to say amen. There's nothing else that can make you happy. And that's why these guys, they did with what God gave them. They did what God has called them. And the most amazing thing is, and then God says, come, let me show you. Enter into my joy. God sometimes spoke about, and my joy, your joy will be full. So you can have like a half measure of joy. You can have like a 20% measure of joy. Or your joy can be full. He says, there's so much. And in his presence, scripture says, that's where the fullness of joy comes. Fullness of joy. Turn to somebody next to you and say, fullness of joy. I'm just going to get something here. And close my mouth. Now, this side, say, there is truly fullness of joy with God. In his presence. Okay. I need 2 volunteers. Quickly. Okay. 2 of you, come here. I want us to read the scripture again. Remember now, there's a guy with 1 talent. And at the end of that story, scripture actually tells us that... Hello. Scripture. No, they're busy doing something here. You can't spoil the thing now, okay? We're checking out. I'm going to take the money back. Okay. Scripture says that these 3 guys, and the 1 guy was a bit afraid. But yeah, at the end of the story, we find a massive challenging thing. I want us to read that again. Let's go for verse 29. The next slide. Okay. For to everyone who has, more will be given to him. And he will have an abundance. So the more you're going to get, there's going to be an overflow, an abundance in that life. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, this doesn't make sense. I'm going to give you each one $50. These are your talents, okay? Don't put it in your pocket and run away now, okay? Okay. Now, you've got talents. Both of them. We've given them something. And they can decide what they want to do with it or whatever. But the scripture says, for him who has, more will be given unto him. But he who does not have, she who does not have, even what she has will be taken away from her and given to somebody else. Can you read this? No, don't take it so quickly. But now the problem is, he says, for her who does not have, what she has will be taken away from her. Are you with me this morning? Doesn't make sense, eh? Except if you really read the scripture. Because this talent story is a massive challenge. Because if you have that $50, the way that you see this $50, you can either think it's nothing, or you can think it's a gift from God. But if you see that what you have is nothing, God says, in the times that we're living, He's going to take that away because of your perception of what you have. And if there are fear in our hearts, and if there's a wrong perception, it's not like God is going to be bad or God is angry or anything like that. He just says very simply, you perceive that which you have as nothing, so I can rather just take it away because you're never going to use it. And I'm going to give it to somebody else. Hello. You can keep the $50, eh? Yes. No, you go for it. They didn't take up my offering today, so I just gave the offering. No, I gave it to Andre. So. But you see, the most amazing thing here is God is looking for something in our hearts. And God is challenging these people and He's saying, look here, I want to tell you that there's certain people with a certain attitude in life, a certain confidence in their relationship with God. But unfortunately for us, and especially in our culture, and I've been thinking a lot about this in the past couple of weeks, in our Western, typical Afrikaner culture, we are many times so fear-motivated that we are negative all the time. We can give us something, we don't celebrate it. And because we don't celebrate what we have, and because we don't celebrate our relationship with God and with one another, it seems like God is not moving in the church in the West. But when you go to the church in the East, and you go to the church in the underground, you just see God doing the most amazing stuff. Miracles. You know? Just read a story 2 weeks ago of these nurses that went into Brazil. And 16 people rose from the dead that morning. They just went to help to clean out the place where the floods were. And then God said in the middle of it, just start to worship me. So they put up their hands, they started to, they just went to do help with medical work. So they lifted up their hands. Next moment, this body bags begins to shake. They go and open it up, they just worship again. And the next moment, 16 people rose from the dead in the morning. Front page newspaper. But in the West, we think, stuff like that. Lord, we've moved past on from that. Because we certainly don't need miracles anymore today. Oh my Gona. Do you know that the people in Europe spend more money on psychologists and psychiatrists than on medical doctors these days? Because there's something wrong in their head. There's no ability of peace. And we think we're intellectual. We think we've got so much, but do you know what? God is challenging us, and He's saying to us, what have you got in your hand? What have I given you? And once you start to realize that, this whole story and your perception of the story changes. Because it's actually about a confidence thing. It's actually the first one about an expectation, and the second one is about a perception of who God is. You can see God as somebody that's just going to judge, or you can see God as somebody that's going to reward. You can see somebody as God as somebody that's going to be glorious, the bridegroom coming back for the bride, and there's such an expectation, there's a joy, and there's a celebration. Or you can think, oh my Gona, am I ready? The focus is just very simply. Is it on you, or is it on God? What is the perception? I told the story there at the camp, but when you're 3 years old, I've got a three-year-old boy, and he is just focusing on himself these days. So we're sitting around the table, and now he's beginning to pray. His name is Josh, and we're five. But we, according to him, we're actually nine people in our family. But we're only five, okay? He prays. Thank you for Josh. And thank you for Mommy. And thank you for Josh. And thank you for Elise. And thank you for me. And thank you for Naomi. Thank you for Josh. Thank you for Daddy. Thank you for myself. So there are nine people. Four Josses and the rest of us. Five Josses and the rest of us. But you know, he gets the Jesus name right. Sorry. But he misses the whole point, you know. It's like this massive family and everybody's sitting there and everybody's got a part to play. But you know, typically in this world, the more the fear increases and the stuff increases, you know what we do? We just love our logger mentality. We love our comfort zones. We love to just go to the familiar. And then everything about it says, God says, don't take the talent and don't hit it in the ground. Rather go and spend the talent. Go and use it. Go and lose it. Just do something with what I've given you. And when we go and look at the cross and what God has given us, I tell you this morning that there are some Christians doing little stuff, but they're changing the world with a little bit of revelation. Because they're just walking in the light of what they've received. And that is why the greatest place of worship is obedience to God. The greatest act of worship is not the songs that we sing, but when we're obedient to God. And when Jesus says there in John chapter 4, He says, for me, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. And to finish His work. Woo! Lord, I want to finish Your work. God, I want to complete what You have called my life and our lives together as a church. We want to do that, Lord. We don't want 80%. We don't want 90%. And yet so many people are pleased with that, or they hide because they are so afraid that what if God is going to be the judge? What if God is going to be, He's going to come back and we're not going to be ready? But the most amazing thing is God says, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Let's run on. Okay, we're just busy with the introduction. So some of you are saying amen. And very quiet, but we'll get there. Psalm 119. Forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. Psalm 89, verse 8, 6 to 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you? O mighty Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. God is faithful. God's love, Psalm 92, it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Just look at that. It says, in the morning when I wake up, Lord, I just declare you are a loving, kind God. Just your love all over me. In the evening when I've gone through the trouble and the challenges of the day, I just know one thing, you are faithful. You know, God cannot change himself. He is God. When we come to worship him, we change. When we come to seek his face, we begin to see who we are. It's the only way that you can discover who you are is when you start to worship God. It's the only way that we can see. And that's why David is so beautiful. He just says, Lord, I'm just surrounded by your faithfulness. I'm surrounded by your goodness. And somebody say amen there. About God's love. Psalm 33, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. You see, look at our world today. How are we going to react or how are we going to respond to God? Because God's glory is all across the world. In kindness. And David saw that he was surrounded. You know, he had more enemies than probably all of us together. But the amazing thing is when you go and read the Psalms and when he starts the truth of God and the fullness, he says, God, in the most terrible times in my life, I just realized you are at work everywhere. And so when we start to focus on what God is doing and not on what God is not doing or how to change, then the most amazing things begin to happen in our life. We begin to get divine encounters everywhere we go. You know, the other day we were jogging, there in Stellenbosch, and we were jogging. Holy Spirit said, stop, I'm going to pray for this man now. And these guys are all going to think I'm just using an excuse to stop now because they're jogging very fast, you know. So, then I went 50 meters past and I thought, no, the Holy Spirit just tells me right now that I must go. So yeah, I said, guys, stop. You turn around, go to this guy in the car, sitting there with two beers and two cigarettes at the same time. I'm checking if there's somebody else because he's really doing a good job, you know, the beer and the one-hand cigarette, and then he changes around, you know. They sit there, big security, you know, this big security emblem on his shoulders and all over, and he's just sitting there. He's staring at me. He says, I've got a request, I want to ask you something. He says, what? I say, I just feel God said to me, I must come to you, I must pray for you. And he stares at me. Just that blank stare. I say, I really believe. So I'm thinking, at least there's a door between us, you know. So I can run. I'm sure I'm faster than him. Because he must still open the door, he must get out of the car. And by that time, I'm 20 meters ahead. I've run down. But so he stares at me. I say, and then God gave me a picture of a bridge that collapsed. I said, something in your life just collapsed. It's like a broken down bridge. Something. The next moment, this big guy starts to cry, just starts to weep. He breaks down. He says, how did you know that? I said, no, God told me. He said, I was on my way to commit suicide. I was on my way to drive this car down a bridge. And then God intervened. Now, what an amazing God we serve, eh? And you know, there are people out there that are desperate for the love of God. There are people out there that are desperate for somebody to begin to use what God has given them. He was the first one, he was the last. David moet of somebody that wanted God's temple in his house to be restored. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So, introduction. Yeah. Now we're going to finish now. What should our attitude be? I love this. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I love the New King. I think the New King James says, feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, if you delight yourself in something, how many of you like malva pudding and custard? How many of you like malva pudding, custard, and ice cream? Yeah, okay. You know that you are stuffed, you have eaten all the chicken and all the stuff, and now suddenly there's like pudding on the way, eh? Yeah. Like my little daughter, she always says, now I've got a place left, right? Yeah. There's still some space here for the pudding. You know? There's lots of space here. But you know, if you sit there and you eat of that pudding, now I'm making people hungry, okay? But if you don't say amen, you're not gonna get food this afternoon, okay? But if you sit there and you eat and you delight yourself in something, it's like the whole world stops. There's like this place. It's like this. You shut everything out on the outside and you just like, it's almost like a worship place. You just like, you know, like those Magnum ads. They're just like, you know, you're out there somewhere. You're losing it. Okay. Now, okay. Just get back here. Just focus again. Focus. I've lost you. Some people completely. They're out there somewhere. Okay. But the most amazing thing is when we delight ourselves, not in the things of God, but in God, then He says He will give us the desires of our heart. Because you know what? Our desires will then start to line up with His desires in any case. But to delight yourself in God means that you've got this absolute place of overwhelming joy of being in His presence. And then you're not afraid of Him. But you've got an expectation. And you've got a perception that He's truly a good God. And so when He's going to come back, the little that you have, you just say, God, multiply. I want to live a life of abundance. I want to live a life of just overflowing grace. I want to live a life of just experiencing You, Lord. But especially from a place of peace. A place where I'm not afraid to try and do something and then you're going to hit me over the head. No, I actually just come from, say, Lord, Your kingdom is in my life. Because those two parables are about the kingdom of God and a readiness. A perception of God, an expectation, an openness that God is at work and God is good all the time. God is everywhere. And the most amazing thing is, you know, the devil tries to tell us lies, the condemnation, say, oh, and how you life and all that stuff. And God is giving you some stuff. But don't start to look at the stuff at you. My cross. And the greatest insult that we sometimes give God is when we come over and over to Him for the same stuff. And we start to beg God and we say, God, why don't I? Well, He's already given it to us. Forgiveness. Freedom. So some people continue on praying and praying and praying for years. And 30 years down the line, they're still struggling with the same issues. Because they've never realized that God has actually given them the tool. God has actually given them life in abundance. But you know what? What is your perception of that $50 in your hand? Is it nothing? Or is it something God has given you? That you can just say, wow, God, I have something. And that's what I love about that scripture. He says, God has given you everything that pertains to life and God has already made you. Especially in your soul. And we discover that through worship. We discover that through coming. And that's why the readiness was about the virgin. They were just ready. They were just saying, well, if we have to stick around here for 7 days, we're going to do it. We're going to see God come. You know, just think about these guys in the upper room. 120 people sitting there. that Jesus just said, go to the upper room, go and wait for me. He doesn't give any instructions. He doesn't give anybody, okay, in a half day, 40 minutes later, you are going to receive a message, something is going to fall, and then you all better be lined up. You better be ready, standing in line, 120, just like six in a row. You go left, 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 you just check it out, and then we're going to be ready. Just make sure to square when the Holy Spirit falls, because otherwise there's going to be trouble. No, no, they're probably 120 people. They're just sitting there. They're clueless. They're just waiting. Scripture says, when they come into one accord, and they come to start to realize, okay, we better have an expectation here. We better say, okay, God, we're here for you. Just do whatever you want. Then Scripture says, like a mighty gushing wind. Then Scripture says, the whole city knew about it. Because you know, when God comes onto the scene, everybody knows about it. When God starts to manifest Himself, everybody knows about it. We don't need to put little billboards up and say, Jesus is here. No, Jesus comes inside of you. And the Scripture says, the kingdom is in you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. And you know, when we are ready, and when we're focused, and when we come to the Holy Spirit and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, you must come and do something in my heart. Come and stir inside of me that desire. Come and show me what you've already given me. And you start to work with that. You start to work together with God. God begins to do the most amazing stuff. And wherever you go, you begin to discover that God is already working in people's lives. God is already at move. God has already started to establish things in people's hearts. You're not trying to do something for God anymore. You're just working with Him. And people, the Church of Jesus Christ, we must wake up. We must be ready. Because Jesus is coming soon. I want us to stand this morning as we're going to worship the Lord. And I know for many of us, this is exactly. I felt God said to me that there are many people here that are very tired and you're discouraged. And you've sort of come to the end of yourself in many ways. But you know, that's the best place to be. When there's no more room for the flesh, your own trying, your own striving, you're trying to be a better Christian. It's just all about one thing. It's about a surrender. It's about a willingness in your heart to say, okay, Holy Spirit, my lampy, it's not so lack of full anymore. Lord, I don't even know where to start. And God is going to woe him, because that's exactly what the bridegroom does. He's preparing. He's building. He's coming to fetch. The Holy Spirit is just drawing us close to him. So in this time, especially when many people are getting discouraged, many Christians are walking away from God, we're going to see some stuff in the church in the West that are going to be very challenging in the next while. But I just say, bring it on, Jesus. Shake what needs to be shaken. Nothing else can be except you. Remove what you must remove, but remove it now, God, because I want my strength. I want to be raised. Maranatha. God is about to move. He's already moving in the earth like we have not seen. Things are speeding up. And it is so exciting. It's just one thing. How to achieve it. So you can become very negative, offended, legalistic. And then we can miss God. Because we think He's judging the earth or He's doing all these bad stuff. Or we can say, Lord, I'm part of what You're doing. Lord, I've got a half a talent. But hallelujah. Multiply my half a talent. Lord, I've got 50 talents. Hallelujah, Lord. You've given to me according to my ability. You've not given to me something that's going to be wasted. So whether it's something small, whether it's something big, God has given you. And let me tell you, for the business people here, God has not called you to make money. God has called you to make money. God has called you to glorify Him. That's why we live. And the most amazing thing is, God God is looking for worshippers. But not just like nice, let's sing nice songs because we feel good about psyching ourselves up. Because have you heard the new Piet Pompey CD? Oh, that's a cool CD, you know. No, no. There's a challenge for worship to become a lifestyle of surrender. A lifestyle of just saying, God, here I am. Take me. Take all of me. And more than that, God, what you've given me, multiply. And that's so beautiful. I didn't tell Christy that he must share that which he shared this morning. But the most amazing thing is when you realize, I've received peace from God now. I've got the ability to release God's peace into other people's lives. Scripture says when you go into a house and you come out of that house, you can leave your peace there. You can walk around and say, oh my God, there's a whole family falling apart here, but I can actually walk into that situation and say, peace in Jesus' name. Because I've got peace. Joy in Jesus' name. Because I've got joy. I can release what God has given me. I must tell this story. I love to tell this story. I've been probably told it 300 times already. But there was a guy who was a goth, Will Hart. Some of you have seen that Furious Love DVD. But he was a goth. He came into the church and then the pastor there, he wasn't even properly saved and the pastor called him to the front. He didn't even call him to the front. He just came to the front at the altar call. He said he didn't know how he got to the front. He just got to the front. The pastor laid hands on him and goof, there he fell over. Lying there, passed out, was slain in the spirit. See, he doesn't know what happened, he just couldn't get up. After about 15 or 20 minutes, this pastor comes and kicks him in the side and says, boy, what are you doing lying there on the carpet? Get up. There's work to be done. So he sort of like gets himself up. He says he doesn't even know. He hasn't prayed a sinner's prayer or anything like that. You know, he just knew God did something, or maybe it's like something spooky, but he just, something happened to him. Now the pastor took his hand, took him to another seat, and there was another guy standing there that also wanted prayer. He says, now you lay hands on him. What you've just received from God, you give to him. So he lays hands on the person. Kadoof! There, that person falls over. He scratches himself so as far, he also falls over again. He gets slain again, he lies there, you know. He doesn't know what's happening, he just knows it's like this overwhelming thing, you know. After about 10 minutes, the pastor comes again, kicks him in the side and says, boy, what are you doing lying there? Get up. There's work to be done. See, that was 15 years ago, and everywhere he goes, he just lays hands on people. Because that's what God gave him to do. And so what he does is just go and do it. Just do it. Nike must not have that thing. Just do it, okay? Because God has imparted something into his spirit. God has given him something, and his perception is not like, ooh, let's try to figure the thing out. Let's try. Where's the manual, God? I must have a manual for these little gifts that you have because I don't understand this impartation stuff and the falling over and all of that stuff. Now explain to me first how it happens. Is it like a short circuit in the brain? Is it because the guy pushed you over or what went wrong there? Because something went like electricity, everything like a good XCOM thing, everything shut down, power shut down. What happened there? No, I don't know, but I couldn't get up. Okay, let's try to figure this out. How did he lay hands on the person? Was it like this? On top, waniki, like the angel have the halos? Or was it a side waniki? Or was it like from the front? Or did he do it from the back? Or did he just walk around? How did it happen? Let's try to figure it out. Because God, you must first give me the manual to understand how you're moving before I can move. You just lay your hand. I've prayed for some people. And then they fall over and I'm still standing like this. I'm still praying and thinking that they're standing in front of me. Then they're lying there for 10 minutes already. I think, well, okay, they haven't heard it. Then I'm going to have to go down and pray for them. But one thing, people, there's a flow of God happening in the earth. There's the freedom that Christ is bringing to his people. And that freedom is here this morning. If you'll just come to say to God, yes, God, I want that freedom. There's some people here that God is going to deliver this morning. Deliver from your little laws. God wants to set you free so that you can have an abundance. So when he brings, when you've got your 5 talents and you've been using your 5 talents, then he brings another 5. He says, just for you. I'm going to give you more. But that's not it. Abundance is going to come into your life. Because as you're going to start to use it, you're just going to be so overwhelmed. And then God says, just come. Enter into my joy. Come. There's like a marriage supper that we're coming to. That's God's heart. But you know, religion kills us when we try to do our law stuff and we try to change ourselves. Father, this morning, thank you that you are challenging all of us on a place, Lord, where we stop focusing on the negative and the stuff that must still get right in our lives and all the stuff that we must change. Lord, this morning we bring you our oil. This morning we bring you our talents. And we thank you, God. Thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for the cross that it is sufficient. And throughout the ages, no other sacrifice is necessary than what you have given and have done on the cross. And thank you this morning, Lord, that there's healing and salvation and deliverance for people in this room because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't need to read 10 other books. We don't have to have 7 stuff right in our lives because the cross is sufficient. And Lord, as your children this morning, we come to the cross because we realize, Lord, the place of surrender, the place of coming to you and saying, yes, Lord, we want that freedom. Yes, God, we don't just want that freedom. We want to extend that freedom to other people. We want to extend that peace that we've received here this morning. We want to extend it to the world where we live. So that when we walk into a situation, Father, we can release your peace. When we get into a life that is miserable and falling apart, Lord, we can speak a word of life. That wherever we go, Lord, the kingdom is coming because God, you are coming and you are doing stuff and you are moving in our lives and through our lives. And Father, I come against the lies that are binding your people here today, Lord, that you don't want to use them, Lord, that they must sort out their lives, Lord, that they must try harder, Lord, or they're just not ready, Lord. They're just like out of it. But Lord, the devil is just a slapfoot, Father, and he's just a liar. He's the father of lies. But you're the father of truth and the father of love. And Lord, every good gift comes from you. There is no variation with you, Lord. There is no shadow of turning. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you, if you're in a desperate place this morning, and especially if you need salvation, but if you just know in your life you have been focusing, you've got so many negative cycles running, you're just discouraged, you're depressed, you haven't heard God's voice for a while. I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you to come to the front because we're going to pray for you. All I can say to you is I'm hearing God's voice at the moment very clearly in my life. And I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give you that ability to hear and to see and to know and to have an overflow. That's all I can give you today. But it's coming straight from Jesus. It's not coming from me. Because God says He wants to give it to us. He's already given. So if God is speaking to you, and I know it's a bit of a challenge because everybody's now staring, typically. Who's going to go first? Well, I'll tell you who's going to go first. I am. I'm standing in front. Say, Jesus, I want more of you. Because that's just it. But if you know you're in a desperate place, I want you to come to the front quickly. Because you know what? Jesus changes us. Jesus delivers us. Jesus makes us free. It's not a pastor. It's not a worship team. It's not a nothing. It's when we encounter Jesus. It's like standing on the N1 and this mad truck drives all over you. You know that you've been changed. Why? Because Christ Himself has walked into your life. Like that truck driving over you. Will you just stand right here in front? Don't be ashamed. We're not familiar with the things of God today. We're not trying to be disrespectful. But all we are saying is, if you are desperate, Jesus is here. That's why He died. He's given you that provision. There's somebody here with... there's like blood pressure problems and there's like inconsistencies in your blood stuff. Somebody here or someone of a family that's been diagnosed with some strange thing. I want to pray for you specifically today. Where are you? Why don't you come right here to the front? We're going to just pray for people right now. There's somebody here, there's like stuff in your bloodstream or something funny. Why don't you come right to the front? I want to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. Is that you? Is that a family member? You've just been diagnosed with... it's leukemia. Okay. We're gonna pray for that. You're gonna stand in the gap for that family member. What's the person's name?
Freddie.
Okay. Father, we just stand in the gap for Freddie today, Lord. And we come against, Lord, the curse of death, Lord. We break every lie. And Lord, thank you for life. We pronounce life over this family as he's standing in the gap for Freddie, Lord. We thank you for release over Freddie's life. And we thank you, Father, that we cancel death and the spirit of death, Lord. Where many people are panicking and they're running around right now. They're asking questions, Lord. They really don't know what to do, Lord. They're beginning to prepare for death, Lord. But Lord, we say no death, Lord. You're the God of life, and we release your life over Freddie's life, Father. We release your purposes over him, Father. You have called him, Lord, and your hand is on his life, Father, and we release that, Lord. We thank you for an abundance, Father, and we ask for many years to come, God. Lord, that you will live a full life, Lord, to the extent of a worshiper, God. And thank you, Father, that he's a builder, Father, and you've created him to be a builder, and you will build, God. You will build, God. We call that which is where there's nothing right now, Lord. We call into existence, Lord, the power of life in Freddie's life. And we release it. We speak life over him. We speak your fullness over him in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, God. And Lord, we just come to anoint every person here today, Father. We release your abundance. We release your abundance. We just thank you, Father, for a place of filling them up, Lord. Again, Lord, fill up, Lord, their tanks, Lord. Fill up, Lord, their lamps, God. We thank you, Father. We thank you. No more struggles, God. There are masses of confusion and stuff, Lord, in people's hearts here this morning. But we want to thank you for peace. And we release your peace, Father, because he's a son, Lord. He's a son, Lord. And thank you for that release. I want you, if you need salvation today, I want you to indicate to me if you need salvation, if you need to make a recommitment to Jesus. Because it's very important that we pray for you specifically. As we're going to just pray for the other people as well. Just tell the facilitator if you need salvation. You need to get saved. Thank you, Father, for your release, Lord. Lord, there's old cycles coming back, Lord. Old torments, Lord. Old stuff, Lord. Lord, it feels seem like he's in an old rut again. But Lord, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And today we release your fullness and we speak your deliverance. Thank you today, Lord, that these prison doors open up. Thank you that the heaviness go in Jesus' name into the demonic storm that has been released in the last 3 months again over his life. But we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your love. Thank you that you surround him, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you lift this heaviness, Lord, that he can breathe spiritually again, Lord. Thank you for spiritual breathing again today in Jesus' name, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you. No more worrying, God. No more fears. No more stuff, Lord. But thank you for just an open skies and an open heaven in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you for your touch, God. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your touch, Father. Thank you just for your life. We release your life. Father, thank you that she's got such, Lord, such a heart, Lord, and a purity towards you, Father. We just pray that you fill her, God. Fill her, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill them to the place of overflowing. You just worship God. As once we've prayed for you, we worship. Counselors, I don't want you to pray long prayers. We're going to just ask God to fill these people, amen? We're going to just ask God to touch them. Thank you just for your touch today, God. Thank you, Father, just for filling up again, God. Thank you for a readiness. Thank you for a preparedness, Father. Lord, and she's got such a desire after you, Father. And we pray for a stirring, Lord. We pray for a stirring for the supernatural in her life, Lord. That she will see again and she will know again, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that she's going to, Lord, wherever she goes, what she touches, Lord, is going to be freedom, Father. You've called her to be a freedom or somebody that brings your freedom into lives, Father. Thank you that every heaviness goes in Jesus' name, Father. We just break, Lord, the stuff and the shackles on his feet, Lord, that wants to bind him and say, Lord, he cannot walk anymore. He cannot run, Father. But thank you for a freedom, Lord. Thank you for your freedom, Father. Thank you for a hunger, Lord, for righteousness, a thirst for righteousness. We release your desires for righteousness in Jesus' name, Father. We just thank you, Father. No more of the old stuff coming back anymore, Father. Lots of stuff. But Lord, we thank you for your yoke that is easy. Thank you for your burden that is light today, God. Holy Spirit, we just surrender. We just yield. We just yield to you, God, today. Lord, just come and fill us up again, Father. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just release your fullness today, God. Release your peace. Release your joy. Release an abundance, Lord, of your word over them, Lord. If you're here today and you need healing, you need physical healing in your body, why don't you come to the front? We're going to pray for you as well. We're going to anoint you. Jesus wants to heal you today. There's somebody with heart problems here.
that the Lord wants you to heal this morning, if you just want to come to the front, we're going to pray. You're going to pray. There's somebody also with a knee problem. You need to go for an operation in your knee. The Lord wants to heal you. Why don't you just come? We're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.